Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Before I begin today, I just want to thank God for all of our support folks who work outside. I see some in the lobby. They work on the outside. They work around the building. They keep everything in check. And continue to pray for one of our leaders, Marlon. Marlon Shaw's not well, but you keep him in prayer. We're keeping up with him. But I thank God for all of our great, amazing, kind, faithful volunteers who take care of all the little things you don't even think about. And would you give them all a round of applause today? Praise God. All right. Well, I continue this morning online. God bless you. Go in our chat line. Let us know where you are watching us from. But I continue in our series in the book of Nehemiah. And what are we going to do when this book is over, which is another week or two? I've been so in love with this series. I know I'm preaching it to you, but I preach it to myself a couple of times first. And I just love this book. Have you been enjoying the book of Nehemiah? Oh, that was so puny, I won't even ask again. I think if you didn't enjoy it, I'll clap for myself. Yes. Today's message is, we've been going through the series, Rebuilding Faithfulness. Today's message is, blessings follow faithfulness. Blessings follow faithfulness. So the question is, are you spiritually prepared for blessings? Are you spiritually prepared? It's not just bless me, God bless me. Are you spiritually prepared for blessings? And I read today from Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 1 to 14. On that same day, as the book of Moses was being read to the people, the passage was found that said, "No Ammonite or Moabite should ever be permitted to enter the assembly of God, for they had not provided the Israelites with food and water in the wilderness. Instead, they hired Balaam to curse them, though our God turned the curse into a blessing." When this passage of the law was read, all those of foreign descent were immediately excluded from the assembly. Verse 4, "Before this had happened, Eliashib the priest, who had been appointed as supervisor of the storerooms of the temple of our God, and who was also a relative of Tobiah, had converted a large storage room and placed it at Tobiah's disposal. The room had previously been used for storing the grain offerings, the frankincense, various articles for the temple, the tithes of grain, new wine, and olive oil, which were prescribed for the Levites, the singers, and the gatekeepers, as well as the offerings for the priests. I was not in Jerusalem at that time, for I had returned to King Xerxes of Babylon in the 32nd year of his reign, though I later asked his permission to return. When I arrived back in Jerusalem, I learned about Eliashib's evil deed in providing Tobiah with a room in the courtyards of the temple of God. I became very upset and threw all of Tobiah's belongings out of the room. Then I demanded that the rooms be purified, and I brought back the articles of God's temple, the grain offerings, and the frankincense. I also discovered that the Levites had not been given their prescribed portions of food, so they and the singers who were to conduct the worship service had all returned to work in their fields. I immediately confronted the leaders and demanded, 'Why has the temple of God been neglected?' Then I called the Levites back again, restored them to their proper duties, and once more all the people of Judah began bringing their tithes of grain, new wine, olive oil to the temple storerooms. I assigned supervisors for the storerooms, Shemaliah the priest, Zadok the scribe, Pedaiah one of the Levites, and I appointed Hanan son of Zakkur, the grandson of Mattaniah, as their assistant. Here's why this is important. These men had excellent reputation, and it was their job to make honest distribution to their fellow Levites. In the last verse here, verse 14, remember this good deed, O my God, and do not forget all that I have faithfully done for the temple of my God and its services. Amen. Praise God. I want to begin today. This is a powerful passage. And I want to begin by saying this. God will judge sins of the past if unrepentant. God will judge sins of the past if unrepentant. There are times we figure, oh, well, God forgot about that because I choose to forget about it or someone else forgot about it. But God will judge sins of the past if they're not repentant. Repentance is what cleanses everything. Repentance is what changes everything. Repentance is what renews everything. And once we repent, even David said, blot out my transgressions, God, so that I will not sin against thee. When we repent properly, truly, holistically, honestly before God, he will forget our sins. But if we choose just to move on, he will hold that sin where the Bible tells us there is a book of life. I want when I get to heaven, my book of life only says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So this story, as we were reading it, brings out this, all of us in this shocking moment where it talks about the sin of Balaam. And you would think it was just an old story of the past, but in the midst of a spiritual reform of Israel, decades, hundreds and hundreds of years later, the sin of a man who called himself a prophet was brought back as a reminder to all of Israel. Balaam had abused his spiritual gift and tried to use his gift against God's chosen people. So I want to remind every one of us here today, be very careful what you do with the gifts God has given you, because we are in a day where earthly ways and means of doing kingdom things seem to be taking root in the best of hearts, and people are ignoring spiritual wisdom, which is what establishes our blessings before God. It doesn't matter how society changes, it must still line up to the Word of God, because the Word of God is unchangeable. But we're in a day where people want to change the Word of God to measure up to what will make society work. Society needs to change their behavior to measure up to the Word of God. And many people today are gambling with God, playing a dangerous game of spiritual lottery, thinking perhaps God doesn't see what they're doing or doesn't know what they're thinking or doesn't understand how they're behaving. And they feel that if they keep doing things their way, God will forget and they'll make it to heaven. Just because other humans can't discern it does not mean that heaven is not taking account of it. Are you with me this morning? Friends, God sees it all, God knows it all, and God will judge it all. So my life is before God, not before what others think or how society wants me to think. It's how God establishes his word over my life. Is there an amen online for me today? So let's remember this story that shows up in Nehemiah. Imagine in Nehemiah. Here's a story. This is way back when Israel had left Egypt and is journeying. And now this story shows up in a time of a spiritual reform of Israel hundreds and hundreds of years later. Here's the story of Balaam. It comes out of Numbers chapter 22. I'm going to skip through some of it, but for those of you that don't know the story of Balaam, I'll read a little bit. Hysterical. If you're watching some movie that doesn't have any context, just go read Numbers chapter 22. You will have a movie in your life that you're like, whoa, God, is this real? So here we are. I'm just going to skip in Numbers 22 to verse 14. So the Moabite officials returned to King Balak. Balak, sorry, and reported, Balaam refused to come with us. Then Balaam tried again. So here's the thing. This king wanted Israel cursed, and he didn't know how to get it done. So he hired this man, Balaam, who's supposed to be a child of God, a kingdom-minded priest, a prophet, and he hired him to curse his own people. And so Balaam wouldn't go. So Balak tried again, verse 15. This time he sent a larger number of even more distinguished officials than those he had sent the first time. They went to Balaam and delivered this message to him. This is what Balak, son of Zippor, says. Please, don't let anything stop you from coming to help me. I will pay you very well and do whatever you tell me. Just come and curse these people for me. But Balaam responded to Balak's message. Even if Balak were to give me his palace filled with silver and gold, I would be powerless to do anything against the will of the Lord, my God. But stay here one more night, and I'll see if the Lord has anything else to say to me. Don't you just love? I got to pause for a minute. Even if you give me the palace, even if you give me all your gold, I won't go. But I'll go ask God if it's okay if I go. Do you know that's how many of us are living? I think God is going to be okay if I can justify it by our societal standard and say, well, you know, we're in a day where this is okay. And so then we hear our own voice, not the voice of the Lord. But God showed up. That night, verse 20, God came to Balaam and said, since these men have come to you, get up and go with them, but only do what I tell you to do. Can you imagine how shocked he must have been that God did show up? I just want to point out, folks, there are times when we've given ourselves our own answer, and God does show up and give us an answer, but we choose not to hear his. Can somebody say, Be careful that you do not justify your own way. Be careful. And here's the thing I want to share. Don't let the donkeys in life be smarter than you. We all have some kind of donkey in life. Whatever, you could translate the donkey to whatever it is. Don't let that donkey in your life be smarter than you. So here, verse 31. The Lord opened Balaam's... I had to skip the story. Young people, you ain't never seen a movie like this. You got to read the whole passage. I skip over to verse 31. The Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing on the roadway with a drawn sword in his hand. Balaam bowed his head, fell face down on the ground before him. Why did you beat your donkey these three times? The angel of the Lord demanded. Look, I've come to block your way, because you have stubbornly resisted me. Three times the donkey saw me and shied away. Otherwise, I would have certainly killed you by now and spared the donkey. Oh, young, I'm skipping a story. Do you know this would preach so well? Pastor Nate, our youth pastor, wouldn't this just be incredible for the young people? Young people, you got to read it, because see, the angel of the Lord showed up, and the donkey keeps seeing the angel, and Balaam keeps beating the donkey. Some of you, the angel of God has showed up, and you're beating the donkey in your life when you just need to ask God, what are you saying? So finally, he sees it. And when he sees it, Balaam confessed to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. I didn't realize you were standing in the road to block my way. I will return home if you're against my going. Do you know why this compromise is so important? This message I should preach that another month and just do it in pieces. You know why that compromise is so incredible? Every time God that he's about to do something he shouldn't do, he goes, if. I'll go home if you want me to. How many of you are letting the ifs hold you where you know you should bypass it? And so the donkey is seeing that there should be no if, but you're still going, but if God would just let me do this, I'd be fine. And I want to speak to young people. I know I'm going to throw this in and I got to hurry with it, but there's a lot of types of gambling and lottery and all kinds of things, online sports betting, all these things. And you're like, but if I could win, I will tithe. Can I just tell you that money that you're iffing with, tithe and watch how God will bless you. But that if that you're putting there will only put you down the drain. And I know not many people will talk about it, but there's too much online gambling through different means. There's too much a little dabble-doo, dabby-dee, and oh, I'm going to get rich. And this whole generation just wants more, 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 more. And they're throwing what God's given them down the drain looking for more. If you will trust God, the more will come on its own. Amen. Praise God. Pastor Duane, do you know that Celine Dion's going to give us $1 million because I keep praying it in? You don't understand. I'm telling you, we don't pray to be paid, but we prayed for that woman. She got up and sang at an Olympics, and all those doctors got paid millions. I'm telling right now, some of them doctors going to sit down on a bed and send that money here because it was our prayers that God answered. Somebody say amen this morning. Mm-mm. I mentioned it last week. I keep saying it because one day I hope it hits. As you know, it'll spiral, some of you. Tweet that out. And so that it's got to hit one day, right? The blessings of the Lord does what? Makes rich and does what? Adds no sorrow. Here's the folks, here it is. It was only Balaam, his donkey and Balak, who knew what went on. But God had it recorded in history. Only Balaam, his donkey, and Balak knew that an angel showed up and blocked him. But here, hundreds of years later, Nehemiah is telling Israel, Balaam did this curse and God reversed it. I want you to know, you cannot curse what God has blessed. And God is slow to anger and abounding in love, but his word is unchangeable. What you sow, even in secret, you will reap in the open. And God will judge everything. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12, God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. So here's the story back now in Nehemiah chapter 13. The temple, which is a place of worship, was to be prepared and purified only for worship and never for self-interest. I want us to remember the church is not about self-interest. It's about glorifying God so generations will continue to glorify God. And there are many. I'm interjecting this now, but I got to say it. There are many people who feel that the church owes me this and the church owes me that. Can I tell you something? All that I am and all that I do, I give all glory and honor to God. The church is built up of people who are building up the word of God, the worship of the Lord, and the wonders of God before another generation so they will do the same thing. That was the weakest amen I've ever heard. I'm going to tell you, Nancy, there are times I'm a multitasker, and there are times I have to do the job myself. So let me just say this. The church is established by God so generations will continue to see the glory of God. Amen, Marie. It's okay. No, don't bother. I'm okay. I got this. God has entrusted us with spiritual duties, which comes before our own desires. Our own desires to please ourselves, adore ourselves, to be fearful of others. God has given us privileges and power and confidence so that we remember the work of the Lord is not just about me. It's about generations getting to know who our God is. And so he gives us spiritual duties. So verse 4 of Nehemiah chapter 3. Before this had happened, Eliashib the priest, who had been appointed as a supervisor of the storeroom of the temple of our God, was also a relative of Tobiah. He converted a large storage room and placed it at Tobiah's disposal. Here we are now. We're going, wait a minute here. Somebody, stop the clock. What happened here? We have gone through the book of Nehemiah. You've heard this guy Tobiah's name how many times? Imagine all that Tobiah did against the children of Israel from Nehemiah chapter 1 and on. And now Eliashib, a priest, a spiritual leader, supposed to be building up the house of God, building up the temple, building up Jerusalem. And what does he do? He converts a room in the temple and gives it to his relative who had spent all of their time trying to destroy them, cursing them. Friends, make sure that what you're doing, you do it with spiritual wisdom so that you are always honoring God first. Our system must be honor God first, then family commitment, then others. Philippians 2:3 says, prefer others better than self. Somebody will say, it's God first and family, then me, then others. No, it's God first and then family. And when God first, that includes even your spiritual worship, everything, family, and then others, prefer others better than self, but then take care of yourself. And we were having a conversation yesterday. Many people don't know how to take care of themselves. They're like, well, and then nothing left for me. If you get your worship intact, if you get your prayer intact, you don't have time to worry about you because you're just going to watch the blessings of the Lord. What happens when it says in Psalm 23, what will follow you? Goodness and mercy. So when you're beginning to focus on God, goodness has to follow you. Mercy is right there with him. So I'm going to tell you, we cannot compromise and hinder the work of God. The Bible says the Levites who were to keep the temple going for generation had no provision, so they went back to their fields to work. Ah, my goodness, folks. During the COVID time, we had many people who did not keep going to church. Now we have a fallout of generation where many of the young people don't have any interest in church. And we're like, I am not to be blamed for that. Yes, we are. Because if we don't keep our spiritual fervor, they don't see why they should be worshiping God. And so we've got to have to get our spiritual tenacity back. And we've got to purify ourselves. Purify ourselves in the Word. Purify ourselves in worship. Purify ourselves in the work of the Lord that He has called us to. When we purify ourselves in the Word, in worship, and in work, we'll begin to see how the victories that God wants for the kingdom of God here on earth in this time and space will begin to take effect. Eliashib, the priest, had not followed the word of God. And he didn't care about worship because he allowed the Levites to leave. And he stripped the temple for his own family gain. And he allowed the member of his family to succeed in business, but not the business of the temple to succeed. So I've got to read a couple of things here to you. Just remember, I'm going to skip ahead here. Remember this. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 10. I'm going to talk about, I skip down, people who will sabotage you if you're not focused on the word and the work of the Lord. Church, there's a lot of Christian Tobias. Nehemiah 2:10. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite heard of the arrival of Nehemiah, they were displeased that someone had come to help the children, the people of Israel. They were what? Displeased. Nehemiah 2:19, when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem heard of our plan, they scoffed contemptuously. What are you doing? Are you rebelling against the king? So they were displeased, they're scoffing. Nehemiah 4:33, Tobiah the Ammonite, who was standing beside him, he says, the stone wall would collapse even if a fox walked on the top of it. And they were intentionally condescending and belittling so that people would lose their ground. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 7, when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites, Ashdodites, heard that the work was going ahead and the gaps in the wall were being repaired, they were furious. Ooh, they've moved up a lot. Nehemiah 6:14. Nehemiah prayed, oh my God, all the evil things that Tobiah and Sanballat have done, Lord, hear our prayer. Nehemiah didn't pray blessings. He prayed God would deal with them. And then you continue on. Now we're at Nehemiah chapter 13. I, Nehemiah, arrived back in Jerusalem, and I learned Eliashib's evil deed in providing Tobiah with a room in the courtyard of the temple of God. And he says this, I became very upset. But let me jump back a little bit here, go back to purify yourself in the word, worship, and work. Eliashib's work was to take care of the temple and all the grain and all the frankincense, which is what buried the dead, and what was a purifying process that Israel did not sin against God. Everything was being put in the temple, and you bring Tobiah, the guy that sat at the gate cursing the people, furious at them, indignant, stirring up other people, and you give him a room inside the temple. And then the Levites have no food. Come on, let's do two and two, because we've been seeing it today even in our world. What happens if you put a Tobiah inside the temple where the grain is and you wonder why there's no grain? Think about it. Just think about what's going on in the world. And people are so blinded to it. There was nothing left for the priests and for the Levites and for the singers. And he's up inside the temple. Can I tell you something? Be careful who you bring into the rooms of your life, because they will deplete you. Are you hearing me? So here we go. If we're going to purify the God's house, we've got to purify our lives. We're going to purify our lives. We're going to restore worship and the things that invokes worship. They even stripped the temple of all the things that belong in the temple. I wanted you to know something, folks. Faithfulness procures and provides blessings. It's faithfulness. We can no longer judge our Christian life. Hear me online. You cannot judge your Christian life by what society says. The Word of God is still my guide, and it is a sure ruler for my life. You brought Eliashib up in the temple, and Eliashib, you took God's opportunity and made some vile contender against God's people. And in the chapter of Nehemiah, it talks about Balaam cursing, trying to curse Israel for Balak. This is the same Eliashib, you stripped the temple for your family. Folks, we can't do anything against God, for no matter how close a person is, we've got to first do what's right before God. You know what I want to close with here? I want to talk about a blessing. Our hearts, when our right hearts are right before God, it is so freeing and so exciting to ask God in faith for a blessing. And then we will know with confidence that God will hear and answer. It's in such cases that when our hearts are just right before God, we don't have to be perfect, but our hearts must be right before God. When our hearts are right before God, even the most undeserving person will get a mercy and a miracle they never expected. God's not expecting you to be perfect, but he wants your heart to be purified. Are any of you here perfect? Any of you perfect yet? I confess mine all the time. Well, you guys know me from Zambia. You know I'll take a car and drive it in Africa. And once I got caught and the police said, show me your driver's license. And I'm like, I can't show them a Canadian driver's license. And so I pulled out my CAA card. And he said, here. And he goes, CAA. I said, yes, Canadian Automobile Association. This is good worldwide. And so you remember those good days? That and a Coke. Bottle of Coke, CAA card. Forgive me, Lord, for I have sinned. We've all sinned. We've all sinned. I'm working on my sins daily. Do you know what I really want to do to even help fundraise for the church? I want to ask the casino owner there if he and I can have a race off on the tracks over there, right? Because you know I'd go hard on it, right? But I have a relationship now, because remember he says we're going to be good neighbors. So I wanted to ask good neighbor, let's do a race off so that we can stimulate some fundraiser. But you got to pray for me, because I've got that other thing that happened the other day that they called, what was it called? Yeah, stunt driving. I got a stunt driving ticket. Y'all gotta pray, don't laugh. I'm your pastor. Don't ask me how fast I was going. I heard you, Sydney. I'm from Montreal. I didn't, and it was down the bottom of a hill. Like you put a police officer at the bottom of a hill. Church, online, pray for me. The only reason I'm not asking that is because I need God to help me with this other situation first so that both don't collide, because then you'll be driving me to church. And I'm working on it every time I'm driving now. Christy, aren't I better? I'm like, oh, dear God, help me, Jesus, help me, help me, Jesus. You know it's my sin. The sin of my foot is quite a sin. Young people, this is serious. I'm too old for what this is looking like now. I'm going to have people drive me like I'm an old lady. Nope, it's online. I hope one of you are praying, because nobody in here seems to be praying. Here's a story. God's not looking for our perfection. He's looking for the purity of our heart. There's a man in 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9 to 11. His name was Jabez. There was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because of his birth had been so painful. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain." And God granted him his request. Jabez was a man that was not perfect. He had a lifestyle. They asked him to come and fight for Israel because he was such a warrior. He was desperate, and he asked God, "Would you bless me?" He chose to ask God for his own blessing. And I tell you, it's time for you to ask God for your own blessing. But you got to make sure, if you're asking God for your own blessing, you need to know that you're not catering to evil and you're not compromising with evil. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 8 to 9. Jump to that for me. "I became very upset, and I threw all of Tobiah's belongings out of the room. And then I demanded that the rooms be purified, and I brought back the articles of God's temple, the grain offerings and the frankincense. And I asked God to bless me. I became very upset, and I threw everything out, and I brought back the articles of grain." And then Nehemiah says, verse 14, remember this good deed, oh my God, and do not forget all that I have faithfully done for the temple of my God and its services." Folks, many people right around the world are asking God, "Bless me, bless me, bless me." Nehemiah said, "God, I'm asking you to bless me because I've faithfully done what is right before the Lord." Everybody needs a blessing. Many of you here today, you need a blessing. How many of you need a now blessing? So my question is, have you been faithfully doing what is right before the Lord? You can't ask God to bless you when you're not doing what is right. Nehemiah said, "Listen, I had come and built. I had come and done it all, but now what I wanted to do was make sure that the work of the Lord continued with power, and that I remain faithful, even if it means throwing the priest out. I threw him out. I threw his friend out. I said, purify it, cleanse it, purge it, fix it." It means repentance for us. Nothing can be hidden in the sight of God. So before we pray for a blessing today, because I know we all need a blessing, our church needs a blessing, our community needs a blessing, our country needs a blessing, your family needs a blessing, your home needs a blessing, some of your businesses needs a blessing, but don't expect God just to bless you because you've compromised in every way. Say, "God, I may not be perfect, but God, I'm going to be faithful." That's what this is all about. I'm not perfect, God, but I'm striving for faithfulness. Blessings follow faithfulness. So let me ask you the question. Are you spiritually prepared, or do you think God is Santa Claus and you could just tell him what you want? God's not Santa Claus. He's Almighty God. right in your seat right now, would you begin to repent and ask God? There are things. Do you know how far Balaam goes? Balaam goes back as far as Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. That's how far back he goes. And Nehemiah, in a spiritual reform, says, let me present to you, Israel, what this man did so you'll remember. God keeps records that are unrepentant. Would you bow your heads right now? I don't know what you need to repent of, but would you take it to the Lord in prayer? If you've not given your heart to the Lord at the end of this service, at the end of this service, we're going to have people online. Bow for a moment and pray. If you're driving, pull over and say, God, this is my moment. There's some sins that I think God is going to forgive me. God's going to get rid of it just because I said so. No, it's because you confess it and you openly repent of it. Because when you're going to ask God for blessings, you need to know you've been faithful. Faithful in the work of the Lord. Faithful in your worship to the Lord. Faithful to the Word of God. When we're faithful to the Word of God, no one has to spell out to us what we need to do. Because the Word will bring forth what we must do. And so I'm going to encourage you this morning. Faithfulness procures and provides blessings. And if your heart's not right before the Lord, ask God to cleanse and purify your heart. Cleanse and purify hearts this morning, oh God. Cleanse and purify. There are some Balaams that are buried, some donkeys that are hidden. But God, bring it back to light so that we remember. If we compromise on what it means to build up the kingdom of God, then Lord, generations later, it will come back to us. So Father, I pray, God, forgiveness upon your people for those who will openly repent because they know what it is, and the slight things, the slight, oh God, things, the slight Tobias that they brought inside their worship. And today we cast out the Tobias and we purify our hearts and we ask, oh God, that everything will be made right before the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.